Chapter 172 to F. E. Belden, Armidale, Melbourne, Australia, November 13, 1895. Frank Belden, dear nephew, your letter came to me last evening. I read it, and I am thankful that you view things in a clear light. I have felt deeply in reference to your case, and I feel sincerely to sympathize with all your sorrows and disappointments. With this I send you copies of letters written in regard to Byron's death. We counted much upon Byron and Sarah. They have been true believers in the truth, ready to be anything and do anything that the Lord would have them do. Byron won the esteem of all who were acquainted with him, and his death has pained me sore, for I loved him as I loved my own son, and I loved Sarah as a daughter. Well, faithful, true hands are folded over his breast, and his eyes are closed to see and grieve over the painful view of wickedness no more. When these eyes shall again open, it will be to behold the King in his beauty. I greatly desired that Byron and Sarah should live with me in Corranbong. They could both have been a great help to me. He was a good financier. He possessed excellent business capabilities, and for this reason every camp meeting they held, they urged Byron and Sarah to take charge of the restaurant. In business matters of buying supplies for camp meetings and the school, he could not be excelled. But I felt that both Byron and Sarah must have opportunities to fit them for missionary work. He has excelled in being superintendent of Sabbath schools, conducting the reviews, and has exhibited a clearness of thought and adaptability that I thought would prove of great service. Conversing with him, I drew him out. He wished to attend the school in Melbourne, and I told him I would set to his service to accomplish this $200. But they both said, "Aunt Ellen, we cannot take means from you. You are investing in the cause of God constantly. Let your money be used to help along the work in educating students, in building meeting houses, and in different lines of work that you may be called to do. But Sarah and I will get along by the help of God in practicing strictest economy." I learned he desired to engage in the work with other workers in Sydney and suburbs. I asked him how much he would require. He said, £1 per week. I said, "That is not enough." He said, "Yes, it would keep him and Sarah. I was already paying 19 per week to keep several workers in the field." The great last burden of Byron was that the workers should not become discouraged and faint-hearted. He made every effort in his power to encourage perseverance and faith. "He will not fail nor be discouraged," seemed to be inwrought in his being. Well, the dear one sleeps. His work is ended, but he died beloved and esteemed by all who knew him. Sarah, dear child, was with him heart and soul, eagerly doing all she could. Both laid themselves on the altar a living, consuming sacrifice, and they will have their reward. Soon our Savior will come, and he will call the dead from their prison houses to a glorious immortality. Then shall we meet again, meet ne'er to sever. Then shall love wreathe her chain round us forever. Frank, our earnest work is to be true to God and abide in Jesus and with Christ in God. One with God, what a privilege is this! November 17. Dear nephew, I am much relieved to receive your letter. I will send you copies of letters I have already written to several in Battle Creek. I send you these copies because I have labored hard here and under many perplexities, and am not able to write you as largely as my heart is inclined to do. I feel very deeply in regard to many things in Battle Creek. The office of publication needs to be cleansed as verily as the temple needed cleansing in the days of Christ. I know that every soul who believes the truth should now be at his post of duty, wide awake, vigilant, watchful, prayerful, waiting, watching, working. You have thought that I was severe upon you, But I have felt it urged upon me by the Spirit of God to lay before you that which I knew he had presented to me in unmistakable features. The presentation was that unless yourself and Hattie were awakened and enlightened, and should view matters in altogether a different light, you would continue to have wrong ideas and be deceived and deluded by the enemy. I read the article in the paper, and consider that you view things in a correct light. I am thankful, so thankful, for I want you to be where the Lord can imbue you with his Holy Spirit, and you be where he can use you to his own name's honor and glory. I love you, children, but have felt no special union with you for a long time. It ought not to be thus. I have spoken plainly to those in responsible positions, telling them that they had not treated you right. Their dealings with you in reference to your books was after the Spirit controlling human minds, but not according to the laws of God or righteousness. The truth of God, in order to regulate the life and form the character, must be planted in the heart. A profession is nothing in the sight of a holy God. If the truth does not produce beauty of soul and loveliness of character, it is of no benefit to the one who claims to believe it. I'm writing to Harmon Lindsay. I have had a testimony for him for some time, but have been unable to let it go out of my hands. I send some in this mail. I no longer connect with Fanny in my work. She has made me much sorrow, and I have no one now to edit my articles, so I may not get off much this month. Harmon Lindsay will either be converted to the truth or be disconnected from the work. A.R. Henry and Harmon Lindsay believe not the third angel's message. They are not only saying in their hearts, "My Lord delayeth his coming," but in spirit, in words and actions, wherever they go. It pains me to see these two bodies of death sent from place to place upon important business in connection with the cause of God, when they are imbued with the spirit of Satan working in secret. They have not the Spirit of God. They are separated from God, and have been ever since the Minneapolis meeting, walking in the imaginations of their own hearts. Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11. When these men shall be converted or else removed from the work, then there will be disclosures that will reveal a state of things in the General Conference financial standing that will be an astonishment to many. This is as far as I have liberty to go. There are two parties, one imbued with the Spirit of the Lord, receiving from the Lord, and communicating to others. The Lord will, as is stated in Revelation, work for the enlightening of his people. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify these things unto you in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Thus is the work. The visible angel is not seen, but the messenger of God, through whom that angel is communicating, is seen, and he voices the message of the angel who stands by his side. The Lord has a decided message for this time, and the trumpet must give a certain sound. Revelation is a book demanding study. Revelation 1, verses 1 and 3. The solemn scenes which Jesus revealed to John are weighty and full of interest to every soul. We should know more of these solemn, weighty, testing messages. We should not only know, but with earnest zeal, let those with whom we come in contact see and understand that we believe as well as read the prophecy of this book, and that they are a revelation to us, a living reality. I have no smooth words of peace and safety to speak to the hypocrites in Zion, whose business it is to turn the truth of God into a lie. Words and works are on Satan's side of the question. Men who have had evidence piled upon evidence that the Lord has been at work among his people, and yet these men have hated the messenger and the messages God has given him to proclaim. There is no excuse for the course which they have pursued and still planning to pursue. And these very men that are counterworking the cause of God, these selfish men are the ones with whom you labored to receive from the treasury means. I knew that your voice did more than any other voice to rob the treasury of God, and to put means into selfish hands, into the hands of men that were not sanctified through the truth. This was why, Frank, I could not sustain you. Time will shortly reveal things to you. It may be asked, who told Sister White? I do not suppose anyone, not even they themselves, understand the true inwardness of things as they are. There is a net drawing about the souls of some. But I may have said too much. Of one thing I am thankful, and that is that you left the Review and Herald office when you did, that you should not be further corrupted. God will work for you if you walk humbly with Him. I entreat of you, cling close to Jesus, if you could be a savor of life unto life. Lay your hand in the hand of Jesus Christ and say, lead me, guide me. If you would pray with more fervor, unction, and power, seek humility, meekness, lowliness of heart, and be not deceived. Your soul is precious. You know not how long your life may be spared. None of us thought that Byron was in any way diseased, but he fell. What a consolation to Sarah, his wife, and what a consolation to me that we have the evidence that he was consecrated soul, body, and spirit to God. I appeal to you, Frank, by all that is dear and precious and holy, to make thorough work and stand in your Savior a free man. Oh, that all who stepped in false paths at that notable meeting at Minneapolis and have felt the same Spirit enfolding them about would let heaven's light into their souls, which would give them a true sense of their course of action and their manner of spirit since that time. Oh, that they would, before it is too late for wrongs to be righted, make confession in secret to God, who seeth in secret the plans and imperfections and the sins of those things which have made Jesus ashamed to call them brethren. Hating Jesus Christ in the form of his saints, oh, how will God reveal this whole business in a place where they have never looked upon it. But I will close. Thank God, my dear nephew, that you are coming to the light. God bless you.